Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Your script, Matt?
Nope, got it now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Gooply Cast. If you're watching live tonight, thank you for joining us. Feel free to share your comments with us in the chat. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. I'm your host and cell phone nomad, Matt Carter. With us tonight is iPhone Jedi Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Also joining us is iMac connoisseur, Roy Shlipinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
And joining us is also Avatar, Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
And big thanks to Joe Meacham for directing the live stream tonight. So this afternoon, we'll be discussing a mounting concern that's been growing a huge following in and outside of the tech industry, which is an owner's ability to repair or have repaired their own devices without having the tech industry police how that repair gets done. And this is kind of referred to as right to repair. Does anyone want to like start off talking about how they feel about right to repair? What most interests them about the topic?
Well, I will go first. I've read a little bit into this, and I didn't know a lot about it until Tim messaged in our Discord channel about it. And I kind of read up on it, and I've been reading up over the last couple of weeks about it. And I think it's a very interesting topic. And I like the idea of it in some ways, and I don't like the idea of it in other ways. I think that obviously repairs are overpriced. We can always agree on that. Screens cost money, and stuff like that. I think from some of the articles that I've read and some of the, videos that I've watched on it, a lot of people are pushing back on the manufacturers a lot. But I think the manufacturers are making stronger phones every year. You know, it's just like they put in the more processor, the different processor every year. You know, they're putting in the different screens every year, the newer Gorilla Glass, the stronger Gorilla Glass every year to make it stronger from cracking. Obviously, yep. It doesn't work all the time, but at the same time, they are making money off of repairs. You know, which is fine and dandy. But they also offer Apple Care, and stuff like that. And I feel like, there's still a price. Like if I dropped my iPhone today, I'd still have to pay like $29 to get my screen replaced, I think. And so I feel like if you buy a protection plan, there shouldn't be a deductible with it. Like, I feel like there could be some regulations around how plans are regulated and stuff like that. And I think that could be more helpful. I think that, like I said, I think the price of the screen is not as much as cost to repair. Yeah, it does. They take time and effort to put into, putting the new glass in the screens, disposing of the old glass, the repair tech's time, and stuff like that. And minimum wage is going up in all across the states. Everybody's fighting for, like a living wage and stuff like that. So that's kind of going up. And I see they got costs to recoup, but I feel like in my area, like they feel like they could reduce the cost of it. And at least if you're going to offer like a protection plan, there's no deductible. And I feel like that should be.
And what you've kind of described is like you having to go to Apple to get this fixed or repaired or going to... Well, go ahead.
I don't have to go to Apple. I can go to any authorized repair center, which Best Buy. They are all most of the Best Buy locations are authorized to fix iPhones and fix iMacs and stuff like that. So there's other places I can go. And I'm a strong believer of this. And I think this was kind of brought up in some of the videos and some of the articles I read that, you know, some of these third party locations who want to work on iPhones but give a cheaper rate, you know, the quality of the iPhone, the parts for the phone depend on it. You know, so Apple has a plan where you can go in and you can become a certified repair company, but you have to use, you know, certified parts in order to do that. So I think that I still agree that you should have certified parts, you know, and stuff like that, because that ultimately affects your iPhone, you know, and it's going to make it run faster and performance wise, you know. And then the other thing too is, like, if you put in a cheap ass battery in there, you know, and then it catches on fire, the one headline that comes out is going to be Apple iPhone blows up, you know, and then everybody's, you know, Apple's going to be blamed for that, when in technicality it's not their fault, but, you know, they're going to take
still could damage their brand.
Yeah, they're going to take the publicity hit on it, you know, and yeah, it's probably not going to affect them that much, but still, I think it's their right to choose the hardware that should go into it, you know, and I agree with that on Samson or anybody else too.
So I want to play a little devil's advocate for you here for a second. Not that I disagree with pretty much anything you said. I pretty much agree with every single point you made. You know, if you're going to, number one, if you're going to have like an Apple Care warranty type thing, there shouldn't be a deductible, because you're already spending like however much Apple Care costs. I don't even know, because it's built into the cost of my phone, because I have it on my phone as well. But it does cost an amount to begin with, on the idea that just in case something happens, but something might not happen. So how much is Apple really bringing in, you know, versus how much they're spending? Regardless, repair costs are too high, and that's what drives people to want to go to a third-party repair shop, because they could potentially get it done cheaper. If repairs were done more in line of a reasonable profit margin versus an extreme profit margin, I think it was Linus Tech Tips who said, you know, an iPhone screen costs $70 to manufacture, but it's going to cost you $300 or more sometimes to get your screen replaced, and that is an extreme amount of profit margin. It's not going to, they're not wasting that much money in you know, shipping it, and the cost of labor to put it in, and the training that it takes to train this person to install it correctly. If they charge the more reasonable price for repairs, and this goes for Google, Samsung, anybody, people would be less likely to go to a unauthorized third party repair site. Number one. Number two, I own my phone. I mean, once I pay it off, I own my phone, but I own my phone. I should have the right to put a third party unauthorized Apple made part into my phone if I so wish, knowing full well that if I'm not getting first party OEM part, that is potentially subpar. Everybody knows that. Nobody's stupid enough to think that a third party battery for an iPhone is going to be better or on the same level as an Apple iPhone battery. Like, we know that. That's just
right.
So the idea that I'm buying this inferior part and it's going to reflect a bad upon Apple is just, in my opinion, asinine, because I'm not stupid enough to assume that any part that I get off of Amazon to replace it on my phone is going to be to the same standard that an Apple one is. It's just not. It's, everybody knows that.
Absolutely. Especially don't know where it comes from or where it was manufactured. There's so much uncertainty, and, you know, the Apple stuff is going to work with itself perfectly, and it's Apple certified, and it's meant to sync with everything. You just don't know if you're going to buy it off of some third party dealer. You have no idea.
Absolutely. But you also have the fact that repair costs are so high, with the idea of planned obsolescence, that almost always forces people to some degree want to upgrade versus repair. And I think that's what the real game the manufacturers are in. When my wife broke her iPhone XR, it was already a two-year-old phone. Not that there's anything wrong with the iPhone XRs, because they still run smooth as butter on the current iOS. But at the time, it was going to cost me over $300 to replace the screen on that phone. I mean, if you're telling me that I could buy a $300-some-odd screen for the phone, or spend $500 on a new phone, I mean, it almost seems stupid to buy the $300 screen when I could just spend a couple hundred dollars more and get a brand new iPhone. What was it? iPhone 11 at the time.
Absolutely. And Apple knows that. They know that if you're going to come into the store and have this, you know, broken, really expensive phone, and because Apple is pretty much the only place that you can take it and feel 100% comfortable, and maybe
you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
In order to use a screen from a third party, it has to be serialized to your phone. Otherwise, your Face ID cameras will no longer work. The screen will work, but you can't use Face ID. So if you want to use your phone in its full meant to be used capacity, you have to have that phone's screen serial number programmed into your iPhone. There's no ifs or buts about it. Is that also true
with the battery? Like, there's some battery coupling with iPhones?
I think with the way the wireless charger works, yes. I'm not 100% sure on that. If you use a third-party part, your iPhone's going to yell at you, telling you that you're using a third-party part. And this, not to just pick on Apple, because there are issues with everybody, but Apple is the one that I'm familiar with, so I'm going to talk about Apple the most. I don't think that it's fair of Apple to charge. If Apple's prices were more reasonable, this wouldn't even be an issue, in my opinion. If I could go and pay a reasonable price at Apple to go get my screen replaced, I wouldn't even care. Go to an Apple authorized repair shop, or go to Apple and pay a reasonable price for my screen to be repaired, I'd be fine. It wouldn't even bother me. That's just how I feel.
It sounded like you were going to jump in on what Roy was saying. Oh, he's gone. We can't see him.
He's gone.
All right. In that case, so Roy, you mentioned things being a reasonable price. If you could repair something yourself, it could be conceivably whatever price you needed to pay to get set up in order to do any of the work that you needed to do. So there's a handful. There's a handful of things that you could do. You could buy a microscope and buy a soldering gun or something like that. You can buy all of these parts that once you set up, you could start fixing whatever phones you wanted to. But no person is going to conceivably do that if they don't want to get into phone repair. It's kind of like building a PC. You can buy all the components, you can buy all the other little accessories that go with it, but sometimes you just want to take it to someone or buy a brand new computer.
You're not incorrect on that, but take when my wife's screen broke. I looked up how much a screen would cost me to get off of Amazon, plus whatever tools and parts would be needed for it. And it wasn't that expensive. I mean, the most daunting thing was doing the actual work itself. It didn't look like it was super involved. It was just a daunting task. It'd be something that I would have been willing to try. I mean, the phone was broken anyway, right? What's the worst that can happen? Either I'm going to buy a new phone, which is what I was going to do in the first place, or I can try to replace a screen, maybe waste money on trying to do the screen. But it's like when I ever have to fix anything around the house, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy the parts that I need to fix for the house. And if I need a new tool, I'm going to buy the tool as I need it. The same goes with phone repair. You know, you're not going to need all of those tools for every job. Buy them as you go along. And then in the future, when you need to use them again, bam, you got the part. Or you got a friend that might need to use the part. You can loan it to them or help them replace it or, you know, repair what's wrong with their phone. I don't think it's so daunting and such a large endeavor to get the parts and tools needed in order to fix things, because you're not getting everything all at once. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And in most cases, that would be true. So one of the things that the right to repair is trying to push for is to prevent companies from putting in special screws that require special screwdrivers that are gated so that you can't purchase them, or you have to go around back doors in order to get them, because Apple puts in a really random, off the beaten path, almost proprietary little screw in order for you to not be able to repair something yourself, or have extra resistance or extra friction in repairing it yourself. They also design things in a way so that if you're not prepared for opening the device yourself, then you could ruin the battery, you could ruin a cable. So they're designed in a way to kind of prevent that ease of repair. Like you were saying, if you wanted to fix something in your home, like a washer or a dryer, those have all been designed with a previous law in mind, so that you get a diagram of how everything works, a schematic essentially, so you could conceivably repair it. And it's kind of all been standardized to where you get you know, a Phillips or a flathead screwdriver, and it's made with like readily available tools in mind so that you could repair it.
Yeah. And like personally, my MacBook Pro that I have from 2013, the battery life is the only thing that's bad on it. The battery is getting old, and I would love to replace the battery myself. The only problem is on this particular model, Apple soldered the battery in under the motherboard, so you have to remove the motherboard to be able to get to the battery. And I'm actually on iFixit's website right now, because they iFixit, they are the greatest. We're not sponsored or anything by them, but they are always coming out and making specific tools for, they'll take like an Apple device and take their weird screws that you were talking about, Matt, and they'll specifically make screwdrivers that work with those proprietary screws, so you can actually open the device up. And it's beautiful that they do that. And they also, one of my favorite things is on iFixit, they'll score everything. They'll buy like a new Apple product and take it apart, and then they'll score it based on how repairable that device is. So for this MacBook Pro, it's a 1 out of 10 repairable, because how complicated it is. And then if you switch devices up and go to, let's say, an iPhone 12, an iPhone 12 is a 6 out of 10. And then some devices, surprising, Apple did a really good job on repairability. The Mac Pro, the one that looks like the cheese grater, the one that just came out last year, that one has, I believe, a 10 out of 10 repairability, just because it's a pro line and you're
expecting. Oh, wait, is that the desktop thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so,
oh, I've seen that thing. That thing on the inside is beautiful. MKBHD talked about, and I was like, oh, I wish everything looked like this.
Yeah. And it's specifically designed for pro in mind, so people can do the repairs themselves on those. And just how much Apple has changed on a lot of these devices. It's insane how difficult it is. I think it was the BBC. I want to say BBC. No, it wasn't BBC. It was a news station from Canada did a story where they went to an Apple store with a MacBook that they wanted to get repaired, and basically the backlight was dead, but the display still worked. It was just the backlight that was dead. They brought it to undercover camera, brought it to an Apple store in Toronto, and asked how much it would cost to repair. And the guy was looking at it, and he was like, well, we're gonna have to replace maybe the screen, parts on the logic board. You're looking at possibly $1,000 to $1,300.
As well, buy a new one.
A repair. Yeah. And then the guy was asking,
what a phrase.
He's like, I just want to be super clear. Is there any other alternative to fix this? And the guy's like, not that I know of. As far as I know, the screen is completely dead because you're not getting any backlight. And he was, so they went to, what's his name? Ross. I don't remember his last name, but he was mentioned in the Linus Tech Tips video that we were referencing. His change, was it Kickstarter? Change.org, I think.
Was he the dude from Massachusetts? Or Maryland, or wherever it is?
New York, yeah.
Okay.
Louis Rossman. Louis
Rossman. Yep. So they went to Louis Rossman's store. I don't know if it was staged or what, but he was like, well, let's take a look. And he opened the MacBook, and he looked under it, and he noticed a little connector was disconnected, and he was able to use very small pliers and a microscope to plug it back in, turn the laptop back on, and it worked perfectly fine.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's things like that that make me wonder, Apple's the one that made the computer. Is there techs trained on that? Like, I understand a lot of geniuses at Apple they're smart, and I don't want to deny that, but they should. And I know Linus, they did a good video where they bought an iMac Pro from Apple, and they Linus, they took it apart. They took the entire computer apart, and as they were repairing it, they dropped the screen and cracked the screen. And they wanted, and this was a $5,000 iMac, they wanted to get repaired. But, and they were willing to pay whatever to repair it. So they took it to the Apple store, and Apple refused to repair it just because they didn't know how to repair it.
What?
Even though they built the computer.
Don't you just replace the screen?
Yeah, that's the question that came up. But every repair shop they tried to go to wouldn't do it because Apple is very strict, and they could lose their license if they were to sell that part. And it's another really good video I highly recommend checking out.
And I think I heard something about that. Like, if you're an Apple authorized seller or repairer, you are kind of under Apple's thumb a bit, meaning there are some repairs that you are allowed to do, obviously, and there are some repairs that you're not allowed to do if they meet certain criteria, which from what I heard, it sounds like if it doesn't, if it would push someone towards getting a new device, especially if they're bringing in an older device, there's a chance that the repair shop is unable to do it, you know, because Apple says so, which would encourage this person to get a new device. And with the Lewis Rossman thing that you were talking about, it was just some like display connector or something like that. It was like one pin in one location that he was already familiar with how to fix. And I remember him saying that he was lucky that he got something like that because it was just super straightforward. And for like the Apple techs to not either not look at it or to somehow not have Apple, with their vast body of data and information and understanding of how their products supposedly work and all the reasons why they fail. You have an Apple store where people go to bring their broken or malfunctioning devices. Like, for them to not either know immediately or not fix it kind of speaks to the whole problem of, well, if they're not going to do it, then you should just be able to take it to some place where you feel comfortable that they can work on it and solve the problem. Because we won't get to the place, the state or the situation where, oh, well, I have a broken phone or computer, I'm just going to bring it to this repair shop, which now that the right to repair has gone through, maybe 10 years from now, there'll be this giant body of knowledge that all these repair shops will be like communicating with each other through the internet. iFixit, like you mentioned, Tim, has like documentation and like how-tos on how to repair things yourself. So this self-repairing community, which already exists, hopefully will become legitimate at some point to where you won't have to go into an Apple store, where you probably know that if it's in their best interest to get you to buy a new product, they will probably do that. So that's,
I was just going to point out too, you know, one thing that I know we hate a lot on Apple sometimes, you know, over their cost of everything, but Apple support and Apple Genius support has been amazing for me in the past. I don't think I've had a bad experience outside of AppleCare. And I'll just give you a couple references. Like, my AirPods are out of warranty. I didn't buy AppleCare on them. And I forget if there was like a staticky noise or something in my AirPods Pros. They were out of warranty. I messaged with Apple support, and they said, oh yes, don't worry about it, bring it in, we'll fix it. And, you know, I brought it in, they hooked it up to their diagnostic tool. It confirmed the problem that it was there, and they gave me a new pair of AirPods. I walked out of there with brand new AirPods. I recently had a experience with my MacBook too, where the battery, this is a 2015 MacBook Pro and the 15 inch. The battery had died in it and wasn't charging anymore. The battery charge, I think, was like, it was insane too. It was like $900 or something to replace the battery or something like that.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the price that I got. I don't know if that's the price I would have repaired if I had to pay it on my own out of pocket. But that's what it showed on the invoice, like what it would cost. My cost was zero, but I don't I don't know. But anyways, like there was a lot of cost associated with it, but I took it in there. It was a known issue with software updates that had caused it to do that. Apple was aware of that, and they replaced the battery free of charge. And you know, so Apple goes out of their way to keep people. And the one thing that I'll say about longevity of Apple products, like, I mean, outside of breaking your device, yes, there are things where you can break your device. But if I didn't replace my iPhone, like, I could have this iPhone for years to come. You know, a lot longer than I could have any Android phone.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, because you lose support after a certain amount of years.
Okay.
I know you have a bunch of phones, but are they getting software updates anymore?
None of the ones that I have are getting like OS updates. They're just getting security updates.
Most so only support for 3 years. Most.
Yeah.
You can root your phone and put software updates on it yourself.
But you don't do it with iPhone. Like I think what Matt's getting at is Apple is the only manufacturer that will actively support their products for what is it? Minimum 5 years. It seems.
I mean, They still support software updates right now for like the iPhone 6S. Like that's a long ways ago. I mean, we're at iPhone 12. Like skip 9 though. But like that's just kind of, you know,
I think that's where Apple has come. Like they used to be the company that reduces the proper operation of your phone in order to nudge you to buy a new phone. Like they're not blameless in their history of this exact topic that we're talking about. Like they've really just kind of tried to do a reverse publicly. Like, hey, we're the company you can come to if you want to, you know, keep your device for a really long time, make sure it's secure, make sure it's still fresh, it's getting OS updates. Like the industry is catching up with them on that point. Samsung and Google are now trying to, you know, commit to OS updates for
3 years,
a longer duration, 3 years. So I think that Apple, to their credit, like the fact that they have a dedicated network of stores that you can bring your devices to and they're going to take care of them, still have the parts, still have the capability to fix them is fantastic. So I completely agree with what you're saying.
And I'll also tell you too, like I used to be a Windows person. Like I had Windows, I think it was Windows 7, I think, or something or no, it was even before that. I think it was Windows XP before. But anyways, that's like the last Windows service that I used. And I switched to MacBook.
Got out at a good time.
And I used 2009, I think, or 2006, I think it was. I got my first MacBook, and I loved my MacBook. It was great. I upgraded it. This was back when you could upgrade the parts in there, the memory and components and stuff like that. I upgraded it in 2009, I think, and that lasted me until like 2012, I think. So 2016 to 2012 is longer than any PC that I ever had. You know, and like I said, I'm on a 2015 MacBook. I also have a 2019 MacBook too, and my wife has a 2019 MacBook Air. But overall, and Roy has my wife's old MacBook, which was a 2013, right, Roy?
2014.
So, and it's still, I mean, it's still lasting. It's still getting software updates, you know.
But how long they support the software isn't even really the part in question, because a right to repair has less to do about the software and more to do about the hardware.
Well, it does.
You just said that your 2015 MacBook, if you would have had to pay for the battery repair, would have cost almost the price of a brand new MacBook.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know that that's the case. That's what was charged on. That was charged on the receipt or showed up on the receipt. I don't know if that's what I would have paid, because I looked it up, I think, afterwards, and there were some conflicting prices. Like, I mean, I looked up what I could get off of Amazon, and I could get a battery off of Amazon because I did look at that option. You know, I could get an Amazon battery for like $200. And I think there was an article on Apple's support site. And I'd have to verify my serial number, but I think I could have gotten it for about $400 through Apple. Now, it's still a very expensive and hefty price, you know. But you know, it is what it is. But the fact that it's a 2015 MacBook Pro and I can still go into Apple and get it fixed. Can you say that about a Samsung? Like, you know, a Windows. I mean, Windows, you can.
I do have a question about that, though. So you said you replaced something on your MacBook Pro?
Or swapped something? The battery died. The battery died and wouldn't charge anymore. So I took it to
Apple. Did you also, like, upgrade the hard drive or, like, the RAM or something like that on one of the devices you mentioned?
Yeah, that was, 2009 in my first MacBook. I upgraded the hardware in it. That's when you could upgrade the hardware. You can't necessarily upgrade the hardware anymore because it's all soldered into the motherboard and everything and stuff like that. So you can't go in there and put in more memory. You can't go in there and put in more RAM. Like if I got a hold of an M1 chip, I couldn't go in there and drop it in there. It's not as easy as it looks like when Tim Cook's in that video where he's, you know, taking the M1 out of the Mac and just drops it into the iPad. It's not as that simple, but
because that's how it works, right? You just lift one part out of one device and put it in another.
I will say that's a big plus for Windows. Things are it is much easier to switch out hardware than it is for Apple products.
It is, and I that's something that I hope, you know, Apple will change in the future because I would like to upgrade more memory into this, you know, or put in more storage space, you know.
Just download more RAM, dude.
RAMDownloader.exe.
Exactly.
I think that right to repair would be less of an issue, less of a hot topic, if authorized repair costs were a much more reasonable thing.
And that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying in my original thing. I think that, like, I prefer. Like the one of the reasons why I waited until I talked to Apple and got Apple to say yes, bring it in and we'll fix it. I didn't really want to go with the third party option because I know there's issues with third party products. Like, you know, a lot of the reviews that I read online about the battery that I was going to purchase said that, you know, some of them, you know, it doesn't charge. It doesn't fully charge, you know.
I mean, isn't that Apple's fault too?
Say that again on what?
Isn't that they are not open with things that other people could manufacture so that consumers you and me could replace?
Yeah. So what I think they should do, and here's what I think Apple should do and other brands, this would go for Samsung or anybody else, but I think yes, they should be able to make a market on products that replacement parts for your computer. I definitely agree with that. Because it shouldn't be more than what the cost of a new computer is or anything like that. So, like, I think, you know, maybe one times, like, they should be allowed to make a profit, though. So, like, one time what the cost is, you know, or something like that.
Like the car industry and, like, the parts industry for appliances and stuff. Like, there's side markets for all of those things, and they seem to be doing okay.
So, but you technically can't, I would say with the right to repair, like I'd like to see something where the markup can only be, you know, 25-30% of what the actual item cost, you know, like they can't mark up more than what they are. Cause Apple's markup right now, I mean, if you think about what Roy's markup was on that screen, it's probably like 60%.
It's insane. You know? Yeah.
So like, and you know, how much was my battery really? Like, you know, I could buy it off of Amazon for $200. So would that make it, you know, I don't know what the brand of the battery was on Amazon, but like there should be a markup cost. And I think that that's where they should, because when you buy AppleCare, you know, like you're getting peace of mind that your product's going to be there. So there should be no deductible with it. But if you decide not to get AppleCare, they should be able to make a slight profit off of your right to repair. But again, I don't think it should be the cost of what it would cost to replace a device or anything close to that.
So I got a big question. Do you think then it should be government regulated the amount of profit they should be able to make off of replacements or fixes?
I think that would be a good idea. Honestly, yeah. I think, you know, a government mandated, you know, you can't make more than this percentage off of the cost of what the product actually cost, you know, for the markup, you know.
We know that right to repair will never, wouldn't say never. We know that it's not going to ruin the cell phone industry or hurt the makers too much, because we have right to repair in almost every other industry. We have right to repair for our vehicles, for our home appliances. It exists, and it's not killing the automotive industry. It's not killing the appliance industry. I think that because we've seen it work before and work well enough. I mean, we've had right to repair for automobiles and whatnot for so long now. I mean, the fact that you can go down to AutoZone or O'Reilly's or whatever, you know, insert random auto parts store name there and get a you know, generic part for your car proves that right to repair works and that it would be utilized and could be done right. I'm not saying that Apple shouldn't get a kickback for their R&D that they did on their screens. Like, absolutely they should. Whatever part they should definitely get some sort of kickback for the R&D. But like you said, there should be some sort of limit to a markup of what Apple or Samsung or Google can get.
Do you guys remember those like Nokias where you could like change out the battery to have a flashing color battery? You could change out the antenna so that it would make little wiggly lines.
Oh, you're talking it. Like early 2000s now. Yeah.
So here's where I think when we come into that, when we start putting third-party parts in there, I feel like, you know, we're going to have the LED flash on the car, on the thing, is going to be like multicolored, you know, and it's going to have all different type of things. Like, I don't want to get into that part of the thing. But the other thing, and that's one of the things like I don't want us to get back to, because I really hated that era where we had, you know, flashing color batteries and everything and stuff like
that. Translucent cases and all that stuff.
Yeah. But one of the other things that I caught off on yours too is like, and here's another thing too, and this kind of goes back to my original point, which was, you know, the performance of it, you know, and that Apple takes that. But Apple is also, you know, highly ranked in, you know, consumer reports and stuff like that too. Like, if people are buying third party parts, is that going to affect their ranking and their reviews of products? You know, if people go out there and buy a third-party battery, but it doesn't give the performance that the software is there to maintain, is that going to take a, you know, like, for example, let's say I'm out with my friends, you know, or something like that. I swapped out my battery and got a third-party battery, and I'm out with my friends at, you know, happy hour or whatever, and saying, oh, my battery life just sucks in this iPhone 12, you know. But I didn't share that, yeah, I put in a third-party battery, and now my third-party battery is not set up and designed to work with the software itself.
I think that initially it might be concerning, but like in that scenario that you mentioned where someone is kind of bad-mouthing Apple because of the consequence of putting in a third-party battery, like maybe early on when people aren't familiar with the concept of that kind of customizability, people would be like, oh man, what's going on with Apple? But as people start to be like, oh, you can replace, I don't know, maybe the camera yourself or the battery yourself, or I don't know, you can add a headphone jack to your phone or something like that. I don't know. Like, as that becomes more ubiquitous and a little bit more common, then people will ask the question, oh, your battery life is bad. Is it because you have the standard battery and it's, you know, you've had it for a year or 2 years and you've used it like every day and the capacity is just degrading? Like, is that one of the problems, or did you put in a new battery?
And I would say, sorry to interrupt you, Matt. I would say that's like the good kind of pressure to put on a tech company that is producing your phones.
you would all agree that Hondas have been fairly reliable cars over the years, right? People buy them because they last a good amount of time. How many people do you think are buying aftermarket non-Honda OEM parts to repair their vehicles with? I bet you there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
It doesn't tarnish Honda's reputation as being a reliable vehicle over a long period of time. People buy Hondas because their engines go for a long time. That's with using third-party parts. So I agree with Matt Carter there that maybe initially that might hurt Apple's image. It might hurt Samsung's image. It might hurt Google's image. But over time, as right to repair becomes a regular thing and you have a good mixture of people using right to repair or going to authorized dealers and getting OEM parts, and it really gets into the mix, that you'll have less of that. And it puts more pressure on Apple to be way more competitive with their prices and Google to be way more competitive prices. I like I said, I'm picking on Apple because I use an Apple device. So that's just what I'm used to. But it puts pressure on these companies to be more competitive and not overcharge their customers for their parts and their services.
Well, and that's why I think like a regulation type thing would help, you know, like regulating the cost of what the markup could be, you know. I mean, there's nothing we
that's
can
so
do.
That's so anti-capitalist, though.
Well, I guess, but I just go. Like I don't know. I think what if right to repair takes off and becomes more popular and gains more traction for the ability to actually become a reality, I think these manufacturers like Apple and Samsung and, you know, what's another OnePlus, you know, we'll start working on different options and different plans, you know, on what they can do to lower the cost of repair costs. But if Apple came to me and asked me what I thought, I would rather have genuine parts in my car or in my phone. And you know, I think that they should become more competitive and more prices for that, to keep it from, you know, right to repair, you know, coming in and grabbing third party products. Not that the car industry I feel like is a little different than the phone industry. You know, I get third party parts, and the same thing with the medical industry. Like, you know, you go in and get drugs out of the drugstore, and they always usually give you the generic version because there's a generic version of it. It's the same kind of concept. But I don't know. I think that I would rather have generic or genuine products in my devices rather than a non-genuine product. That's just my opinion.
Other 100% people
agree.
Have
a different. Other people might have a different opinion, but that's the thing that I feel like I should go, just because the software is designed to work with those components. There's and people. when you take out the genuine devices and you put in a third party camera, you know, that has a giant zoom, like, you know, then where do we go from there, you know? So that's just my thing. And then the other last part that I want to reference too is the I don't think we should go anywhere without referencing the Samsung Note that eventually started catching on fire. Caught fire. Like, we shouldn't be allowed to by any means let, you know, put people's lives in jeopardy, you know, like, what if, you know, like for aviation, you know, what if we're on a plane and a phone explodes, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, those were first party OEM parts. So first party OEM parts can absolutely be just as susceptible as third party, but there absolutely does need to be a better quality control on the parts.
That's what I was going to say. There absolutely have to be quality control, because if we get away from that, like, what happens to the consumer? Like, you know, are we going to be, you know, sitting in bed one night and, you know, the phone catches fire and people don't notice and then their house burns down, you know? You know, and again, the title is going to be in the newspaper: iPhone explodes, catches house on fire, burns to the ground, you know? And then a few weeks later, after the investigation goes on, it's going to be like, oh, a third party battery was found in that phone that caused the phone to catch fire and burn the house to the ground. but Apple's going to take the hit on it. So I think if eventually they get to the point where there becomes third party developer device or third party, you know, generic equipment for phones, then it needs to be regulated. And then by then, who regulates it?
You know, do you remember it would have been, I want to say, back with the iPhone 5. So this was when lightning cables were first introduced. There was an issue when you used third-party chargers. They were catching fire. They were the ones that were not, they were not stamped with the made-for iPhone, made-for iPod stamp of approval that Apple gives certified accessories. And yeah, you saw the headlines, Apple iPhone charger catches fire. Apple was very quick to put out a statement that says, hey, these are third-party unauthorized or uncertified accessories that are catching fire, and we strongly recommend that you use either the first-party ones that come with your phone or made by Apple, or ones that are stamped with the made-for-iPhone, iPod, iPad logo on it. And I think the same would happen if we started getting a... because nobody's going to bat an eye if a random iPhone, you know, explodes and catches somebody on fire and kills them. I mean, obviously it's a big deal, but it's not going to be as big of a deal unless there was a whole slew of them that happens. And at that point, Apple's going to be like, hey guys, these are from faulty third-party devices. Apple, I promise you, Apple will be the first one to point that out and make it very well known.
And I get it.
That it
and
wasn't their stuff.
And I get it. But there, you always have to think about the random one-offs, you know, and stuff like that too. But and then the other thing that like I want to get clear is who's going to regulate this third party devices. You know, yeah, you can buy third party devices from China right now. You know, you can buy third party batteries and stuff like that out there too that put your phone at risk. But if we open up this hardware channel for other people to do, who's going to take the ability to regulate it to make sure that we're not risking people's lives and everything else? Because I agree with that 100%. Apple's going to come out and say these are not, you know, Apple genuine products, you know, that are being put in there, and this battery was third party. But again, I think the bigger picture is we want to make sure that people have safe phones and they're walking around with safe phones and, you know, not having exploding phones. Because, you know, we saw with Samsung, you know, that happened. You know, what if people start trying to make, you know, like we have wireless charging. What if people start trying to make faster chargers that charge at like, you know, 25 speeds or whatever, you know, and stuff like that, and find some way.
May I introduce to you OnePlus?
Well, I know, but like what happens if they try to manipulate the software and the software can't handle it, you know, and then, you know, I always get concerned when my iPhone gets hot now.
You're always going to have that issue. You're always going to be able to get black market parts. I would put it up to the retailer to ensure that they're selling quality stuff. In other words, everybody's going to buy from Amazon. Amazon's going to be where it's going to go. And I would throw the ball in Amazon's court and be like, hey, you know, how are you going to ensure that you're not selling absolute garbage to these people? Because, I mean, otherwise, how are you going to regulate it? You're not going to get a government agency to oversee every single piece. It's just not going to happen.
Well, and here's where I think could come into, like, you know, Apple could work, or Samsung or whatever could work with third party manufacturers to create third party generic parts. You know, and, you know, say, here's what our standard is, you know, and stuff like that. You know, that these products have to be tested, you know, and stuff like that, and go through a testing product with the manufacturer to see if these parts work, you know?
Well, I don't think Apple even has to do that in particular, because like, let's say everything is the same. Cell phones are still like really hard to work on as an individual person. I think if you're like a repair shop, you probably have a little bit more sway over where you get your additional parts from, the parts manufacturers. There could be some kind of consortium or group of like iFixit, for example, is a pretty big company in the United States. They could work with hardware manufacturers to get good quality products. Like Apple can still maybe have their say in how things go, but like a random person putting a battery inside of an iPhone that they got off of like some random Amazon seller. They don't have to do that. Like, it could still be as difficult as it is right now to put a battery inside an iPhone, so that the average person who might have less quality judgment than an actual repair shop might have, they could just leave it for the repair shop and they could do it.
It ultimately is going to come down to whoever is doing the replacement. Let's say I took my car to the dealership, Chevy, to get it repaired. If, like, let's say the transmission needs to be replaced and Chevy replaces it for me, I would expect Chevy to use the right parts because they're the dealership. And then let's say it explodes, I would blame Chevy. Now let's say I took it to a third-party mechanic, and they use some generic parts, and it explodes as well, I'd be blaming the mechanic. Or let's say I got some parts from, like, O'Reilly's, and I replaced it myself, and then it explodes. That's my own fault, and that's got to be the way that people understand when you're taking your phone to a shop, or if you're repairing it yourself, you're ultimately the one that's going to be held responsible for it. I know Apple will get flack for it, but it's just it'd have to be made clear that if it was repaired.
I just want to be clear that I think when we think about things, the bigger picture though is that, like, when you try to customize and modify these phones, you know, Android, you can boot, root your phone and put different software on it and stuff like that too. Like, you know, who knows what these software manufacturers or these, you know, software developers can do with bootloading devices, you know, and stuff like that. And, sure, you know, so I think about the battery issue in there, and I think about the exploding of phones and stuff like that. I just want to see a better outcome for that. You know, like, cameras, everything else can be things, but you can't replace a life. And if we start walking around with, you know, batteries that are exploding or stuff like that, it's like Apple puts their products through, I think, very thorough testing before it comes to market, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know if you've ever watched, there used to be a video on how they tested phones. I don't know if it's still out there, but they had a testing of their labs and how they test phones and batteries and stuff like that, you know. They go through a rigorous process, you know, and I'm sure Samsung does that now even more than what they did before. I don't know what happened with the Note, but that's just my concern and what I look for. I will always get genuine parts, but like I said before, I think that it should be regulated, you know, and I hear everybody's points, you know, and stuff like that, and stuff like that. But I think if manufacturers, you know, were a little less costly on fixing their devices, drop the deductible fees, I feel like, you know, people would be a little more happier with their devices and stuff like that too. So I'll tell you one thing though. One of the things that I don't see much, and I don't know if you guys see this, do you guys see, like, you know, PC repair shops still?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I feel like I don't see much of them at all, you know, much anymore. Like, I was driving around the other day and I was thinking about that when I was thinking of this, and I was kind of driving through Bellevue, Renton, Seattle area. I think I went up to Bothell and stuff like that, but I didn't really see computer repair shops much anymore. And I remember back in the day when those used to be, like, you used to see those on a lot of different street corners, you know, and stuff like that. And I think I've only seen like one or two of those, you know?
Interesting.
So
I'm willing to bet that there's, I didn't grow up
in a situation where there were a lot of PC shops like around corners. I grew up in like the Dell and like HP and Gateway or something like that era.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like those companies have kind of consolidated or expanded their like service outreach And so it's my intuition that people are just like, well, I got a Dell computer, so I'm going to call Dell and see whether or not they'll fix it for me. Or I'm going to go back to Apple or call Apple and see if they'll fix it for me. Like, I think people might be moving more towards just calling to see what might happen.
Well, I remember there used to be a Rich Man Poor Man Computers up in Everett on Everett Mall Way. And I remember that's where I got one of my first computers built from them. They built it all up and everything and stuff like that. And then there was another one over on Murphy's Corner by the Fred Meyer over there too, that I got another computer from at 1.2. So, I mean, that was back in the day when I was on PC, but yeah, when I was thinking of all this too, I was just like, I don't see a lot of computer repair shops much anymore, you know, and stuff like that. So it's just kind of interesting. You know, I think more people take their device. I mean, there's Best Buy though. I think there's more people like Best Buy and stuff like that too. So,
and I think people use their mobile phones a lot more for their computing casual devices. Computing needs, and that may be a big portion of it too. I'm willing to bet that, you know, from 2010 to 2021, the demand for PC devices as we had known it back then has dropped dramatically, and people just use their phone for 90% or their tablets for 90% of the time. I mean, you think how much the tablet industry has grown. The people who are still using their computers heavily for day-to-day things are people who are definitely more tech-oriented and probably do most of the repairs on their own. You know, you think the gamers, you know, out there that build their own computers and whatnot, or they know somebody who does that. I just feel like the demand for PC repair from a shop has gone down because of mobile phones, knowledge of the industry by, you know, your average Joe, and probably Geek Squad plays a big part of it too.
Well, that's what I think. And a lot of people probably go get their computer repaired at Best Buy, you know, and stuff like that too. So
people like to go back to where they bought it. Just throwing that out there.
Yep. Yeah. So anyways.
Well, I think that is a good place to end it. So we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the Goopley Cast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to us as a podcast. Look for all our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show and you can join in. Also, for when we share new tech-related content like Tim switching to iPhone. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joe, thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Goopley Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Goopley Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Goopley. And remember, you can stream the Goopley Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Goopley.com.